This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I can get real used to saying that, guys. I really can.
Awesome.
It does. So I'm Scott Kinville, and before we get going, we want to let you know that you can find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Hockey_Royalty and also at Royalty_Pod. And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hockey Royalty. So we got a really fun show for you lined up tonight. We're going to have a guest. Our guest was going to be Tony Ferrari, but something's come up. And so he has promised us that he will return to the land of hockey royalty soon, whenever he can. But it doesn't matter because we've got such a fun show lined up anyways. And what we're going to be talking about is the draft. You know, Motley Crue once said, girls, girls, girls. Well, we're going to be talking about drafts, drafts, drafts. And it's going to be us three, the all-star panel, as you will, for hockey royalty. And I'm going to bring those guys in right now. First of all, I want to bring in the guy who's got the hardest job at HockeyRoyalty.com. He's the guy that makes sure we don't screw up in our articles, crosses all the T's, dots the I's for us. He is the guru of the English language. He is the one and the only, Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, Ryan?
Scott, you come up with the best stuff on the fly. I love it. I'm doing fine, by the way. How are you?
I'm good. I try. You know, I try sometimes, but, you know. And up next, our other partner in crime, if you will. Now, this guy is the king of analytics for all things HockeyRoyalty.com. He is the Count of Corsi. He is the Prince of Fenwick. He's the one and the only Mr. Russell Morgan. What's happening, Russ?
What's going on, fellas? Ready for, yeah, like you said, the drafts are coming. We got the expansion.
Fast and furious
drafts.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is going to be nuts. I mean, we got – so let's say today's July 20th. It's Tuesday. So, you know, since there's several drafts coming up, let's start talking about the first one that's going to be – well, by the time you guys listen to this, it'll probably have already happened. But Wednesday night, July 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then you guys can figure out your own time zones. I'm not going to figure that out. ahead. However, it's going to be the expansion draft where the Seattle Kraken will officially enter with their team. So what we're going to do is we're going to go a little bit of a roundtable discussion here. We're going to get our thoughts on certain surprises we'll start with that are available that are going to be available to the Kraken. Ryan, I'm going to start with you. What names jump out at you from that list?
I thought it was a little, I mean, I'll say odd, but that's not the right word. It is odd that the Kings protected Dustin Brown. You know, I put out an article of the value is leadership, which I do stand by, but, you know, got 1 year left, he's be 37 in November. I felt like they could have left him exposed and just fine. You know, there's some other people mentioning to me that, you know, Kings don't have a lot of forwards to protect, but you know, you got Athanasiou out there, you got Carl Grundstrom, who I still have not given up on, you know, a couple guys out there that maybe I thought you could have protected. Instead of Brown, but overall it was probably about what you expected. And I think everybody's favorite defenseman, Cale Clegg, was left exposed. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow.
Yeah. I think it's making me kind of nervous. What do you think, Russ?
Yeah. I think the Brown situation was probably, I guess, quote unquote, the most surprising situation of the expansion draft from a Kings standpoint. I will say, I know we can talk about Brown led the team in scoring last year. He's still a really good commodity for the team going forward, but he only has 1 year left. I will say, if Seattle would have taken him, they probably could have used him as trade bait throughout the season. So I'm sure Rob Blake kind of figured, okay, I don't want to lose that commodity. I mean, as a team, we want his goal scoring next season and maybe even going forward. But then we just lose a really good trade chip at the deadline that Seattle could potentially use and flip him to a team contending for a Stanley Cup. So, but besides all that, I mean, pretty cut and dry. It was something we kind of all expected with them going 7-3-1, protecting Cal Peterson, the three defensemen, Doughty, Roy, and Walker, and then the 7-4s that they protected, including Trevor Moore and Elias Sanderson, I guess, were the more fringe players in that group.
You know, though, I got a little different theory about that as far as Brownie goes. One, I actually like the fact that they protected him because, to me, that's kind of a tip of the hat, everything he's done for the organization, right? And, you know, I think if you're going to project yourself as a team going forward, that you're going to take care of your players as long as they take care of you, then these are the kind of little things that you have to do. And you guys know just how worried I am about the Kraken taking Cal Clegg. I'm keeping me up at night. I just, you know, right? So finally, the long nightmare is going to be over for me tomorrow night one way or another. But I think this is actually a pretty smart move because what it does, if you're protecting Brown, that means one more forward is going to be available to the Kraken. And let's face it, the Kings are overloaded at forward as it is, right? So if you could put another name out there that maybe entices them just a little bit more towards that player and keeps them away from Clegg, then you know what? I think it would hurt much less if they say the Kraken were to take a Blake Lizotte or, you know, even, you know, like Austin Wagg. Those are the popular names that are getting thrown around, right? Or Carl Brunson, like you had mentioned, Ryan. I think it would hurt the team less if one of those guys got taken as opposed to Cal Clegg. It's my opinion.
I think we can throw out – it seems like Cal Clegg's like the popular name that we've talked about throughout that funny little meme the other day and got some good traction. People seem to enjoy that. But
yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, but it would be kind of tough to lose Cal Clegg. He's a second-round pick. He's shown really well in Ontario and even in this short little stint with the NHL, the 18 games he played this past season. But I have a feeling that they're going to be picking a forward. And it seems like they might be leaning towards Blake Lizotte. And the reason I say Blake Lizotte is because they have a really strong analytics department up in Seattle that they're building. Ron Francis is a great GM. He's been around the league for quite some time. And it seems like they're more of a forward-thinking franchise that you want to start with. And Blake Lizotte puts up some pretty good analytic numbers. He's one of the better forwards in terms of Corsi. He's one of the better forwards and the expected goal forward percentage. The only problem is he just has like one of the worst shooting percentages on the team. So if he ever is able to find that finishing touch, then he can be a viable third, fourth line option. But, I mean, if you look around the league, there's really not many – I mean – When the Kraken comes to the Kings, they're going to just be looking for either depth pieces or trade chips. And that's kind of what they expect to maybe get from if they do pick like a Cale Clegg or Blake Lizotte or maybe even an Austin Wagner.
Well, you know, you just said something about the Kraken are building a very strong analytics department, in your words. So have they offered you a job yet?
I was just going to say, I think Ross has been hired.
No, unfortunately not.
So, you know what makes me nervous about losing Clegg is Clegg is the best option they have as far as young players coming up through the pipeline at left D. They're loaded at right D. They're really loaded there. But left D is really thin. And I think to lose Clegg would mean that they're going to have to make another move this offseason to help shore up the defense. I mean, let's be honest.
I think a lot of people are like, you know, that we're overreacting, that we're about to lose, you know, the next Roman Josi, but fact of the matter is Clegg has eventually produced offensively at every stop that he's been at. I don't think he got really a fair shake last year. I think he spent like what 2 weeks on the taxi squad before he was ultimately demoted, or I'll say optioned down for lack of a better word, to Ontario for the rest of the season as their final you know, roster move. And I think he finished the year with like 7 points in the final five games down there. They're all assists, but still.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't expect your defenseman to score 30 goals a year for you, you know?
Oh, come on, Scott. You're setting the bar way too low.
Especially for a Kings defenseman. But yeah, if you're looking for a good future piece for a franchise that's just starting, I mean, Cale Clegg, I mean, he's young. I mean, like we mentioned, he's barely even cracked the NHL. Someone mentioned to me on Twitter, and I want to throw him out there because he actually opened my eyes to it, Carlos Feliciano, at Celos Feliciano. He mentioned that if they did get Cale Clegg and he didn't crack the roster, then they'd have to put him on waivers. And that's something that a lot of teams, or the Kraken especially, obviously, they're going to have to think about when they draft these players, is if they don't make the roster, are they good enough to, or are they, I guess, I don't want to say not good enough, but is a team going to want to snatch them up if they do get placed on waivers? I mean, they draft Cale Clegg, send him on waivers to the AHL, and then the Kings just pick him right back up. I mean, I don't see that happening. I can see Cale Clegg actually making the roster because he does have some future potential to his game. But it's just another aspect that they have to think about when they pick their team.
Crack the Kraken. I like it.
I think you're going to see a lot of weird things. I think you're going to see players picked and then flipped. I mean, there's a new report out there that I think it's from Dave Paniota. I'm reading this on air, but you know, a few teams are interested in the goalies available in the expansion draft and have discussed selecting them and then flipping them with the Kraken. So they might start to wheel and deal just like Vegas was doing. And it was kind of interesting. You guys have all seen on Twitter the models that people have come up with, their players taken and the points produced. You know, on paper, the Kraken are looking like a 100-point team right out of the gate.
Yeah,
I don't know how much weight you can put into that.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, like, I know. No. It's well, interesting. Yeah, if you like, I thought of that too. Like, imagine they just pick the best players. Just say screw the salary cap and just say, hey, we're just going to go for it for 1 year, and then say we'll just figure it out later. But yeah, I mean, if they wanted to take Carey Price and Vladimir Tarasenko and sign Gabriel Landeskog to a ridiculous contract, I mean, yeah, they obviously could. But I mean, I think they're thinking more long term. But yeah, you made a great point, Ryan, that they've been talking to teams about trying to grab players and then flip them. And Vladimir Tarasenko is a perfect example of that. I mean, if you could pick him up and then flip him to a team that is willing to give you like some pretty good assets for him, I mean, why not? That's going to be a good one. But I know there's some other good players in St. Louis. I think either Jaden Schwartz or Vince Dunn would be the pick for the Kraken out of that team. But yeah, there's gonna be a lot of interesting movement come tomorrow, and it should be some good television for the debut for ESPN and their new contract.
Well, I'll tell you what, it can't be any worse than the award show that was on NBCSN, that's for sure. but you know, I got a theory too, surprisingly enough, right, about what you guys were just talking about, how, you know, models are projecting the Kraken to be a 100-point team. Listen, when the Vegas Golden Knights came in, all of these same models projected them to be like a 65, 68 point team, and they're be damned if they're going to be wrong this time. So they're like, well, yeah, let's shoot high.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everybody will be so surprised, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's funny. You guys bring up there is a lot of big names out there on that list. I mean, Gabe Landeskog, for starters. I mean, I actually wrote down a few of them. We were just talking. Yeah. Gabe Landeskog, Carey Price, of course, Vladimir Tarasenko. Tampa is going to be standing to lose a very good player at one point or another. They got Andres Palat, Alex Killorn, Yanni Gourde is right on waivers. Jordan Eberle, Josh Bailey from the Islanders. The directions that the Kraken can go is amazing. It really is. But, you know, there's one thing I do want to point out. I was actually asked by a couple of people, like, well, why wouldn't they just grab Landeskog? Well, because the thing is, with guys going into unrestricted free agency, the only advantage the Kraken have by drafting them is they'll be able to offer them an 8-year deal instead of a 7. Just because they're drafted by the Kraken doesn't automatically mean they have to sign with them. So that's kind of a little misnomer I wanted to clear up, just, you know, because it can be confusing with all the different rules involved, you know?
They can't just pluck an Alex Ovechkin and just say, oh, yeah, he's on our team now.
Right. Right. He's got to be willing to sign with them, you know?
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, I could see Landeskog returning to, the Kraken passing, taking someone like a JT Compher instead of Landeskog, just because of that contract status is really unknown. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a darn good player, but, you know, you don't know how many years you have to commit to him and how many dollars, too.
Well, I think with Landis, you're definitely looking at a max contract.
Oh, definitely. I
think I want to get paid. And you know what? Yeah. He's earned it. He really has. And I'm very surprised that Colorado let that drag out as long as they did.
I don't know. I just have a hunch he's bluffing. Why would you want to leave Nathan MacKinnon? You have Nathan MacKinnon setting you up, and it's...
I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
This one's a no-brainer, right? So the guy has been the heart and the soul of that team for almost 10 years, okay? Mikko Rantanen is now making $9.25 million. Nate MacKinnon, even though he's going to take a hometown discount, he's still going to cash in 2 years.
Yeah.
And the Colorado
Avalanche...
Cal McCarr. Mm. So from what I understand from reports, I guess the initial contract that the Avalanche offered him was like a $5.5 million AAV. You know what? That's kind of a slap in the face if it's true. I mean, I understand wanting to try to keep within the cap and keep things under control. I totally get that. But you don't do that to a guy who's your captain. And like I said, who's been your heart and soul. So, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe he's bluffing a little bit. But maybe he's really like, you know what, guys? You really think that lowly of me that you're going to even think about offering me that contract? Come on. You know, so if I were him, I would go right to UFA and say, all right, well, I'm going to go see what I can get anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back to the Avalanche and maybe even takes a little bit of a discount. But if I were him, and I'm sure his agent's telling him, no, you don't sign anything until July 28th. Let's see what's going to be offered to you. And then you can turn around and say to Joe Sakic, hey, this is what I got for an offer. Give me $1 million less and I'll stay. But he's still going to be a rich man out of it.
It's like, you know, to your point, Scott, he's like this close. And I've got like an inch or two holding up for our listeners. He's like this close to like being on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. And that's
been on some bad Avalanche teams. They're finally good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think he's going to eventually end up staying with Colorado. It's just, you're going to leave a team that's just so stacked with talent and young talent too. I mean, it's not like they're just like, they're have like this short, small little window. I mean, this team's going to be good for like the next 4 or 5 years. I mean,
I could see them signing Cale Makar to like a bridge deal to get them to that next phase of money.
But they still got to pay him.
Yeah, I know they do. I'll throw in $50.
You know, and it's going to be the same time that as Nathan MacKinnon's going to need to get paid.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, what everybody said about Colorado, well, they're going to be good for years because they're going to have salary cap space. Guess what? Salary cap space is disappearing in a hurry. And here's the thing. So you just said it, right? Why would he leave a team that's close to winning a cup? Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. Now, our LA Kings are supposed to be a legit cup threat within, say, 2 to 3 years. If all the prospects pan out and if the plan goes according to as it should. So would he really be taking that much of a chance if he went to the Kings to say, make, I don't know, $2-3 million more a year to know that he's going to be on a young upcoming team that eventually could be knocking the Colorado Avalanche off the, well, off the mountain.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, signing UFAs just never really work out too long term. That's the thing. I mean, if he does leave, and it's going to be probably for a max deal, probably 7 years, $60 million a year. I mean, it's just, you never really see those contracts work out. And he'd fit right in with the Kings, obviously, on the first line. You put him right up there with Kopitar and Brown. That's a really, really great first line, probably one of the best in the Pacific Division. But it's just you're going to have to be paying him a lot of money to do that. And that's a lot of money tied up, like you mentioned, to the young prospects are going to have to needing those big contracts going forward.
But here's the thing that the Kings have that the Avalanche don't. They have time because here's the deal, right? Brown's contract's coming off the books at the end of this season. Quickie's comes off the following season. Kopitar's comes off after the third season, we'll say. Right. So there's over $20 million just in three players alone. Now, of course, they're going to re-sign Kopi. I'm sure it'll be at a much lower AAV. Okay. But still, in the meantime, all the kids are still going to be on their ELCs. So you've got 3 years to figure this out. And by the time that 3 years rolls around, the only big legit contract you're going to have is Doughty's or Landis Goggs or whoever, if they want to bring in a big UFA. And keep in mind, by then, the cap should be going up with the TV money rolling in as the league recovers from the pandemic and everything else. So there's wiggle room and there's a lot of it for LA right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pierre LeBrun, he's been tooting the horn saying that the Kings are probably going to be one of the suitors for Landeskog. So, I mean, I could see it happening. Yeah. The cap space is there. So if Rob Blake does want to pull the trigger, he's got the money to do so.
How, with that said, we're going to be competing against Lou Lamoriello in the Islanders form, I guess, yeah. too, because apparently Lou's hot on his trail, too.
how awesome would that be, though, if the Kings signed Landeskog? Just get the fan base really excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. you know what? And it weakens one of your big opponents in the conference.
Well, yeah, last year's.
Right, it doesn't drop them down to, you know, wild card contender.
Oh, you're talking about the entire
conference. I'm talking about the Avalanche.
I was thinking division, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm used to the Honda West division.
Yeah. No, let's just forget that happened. No more of that. Come on. Let's ban that from hockey royalty lexicon. So what do you guys think? Was there any other big surprise names that came out for anybody else other than the Kings? We'll get back to them in just a second, but since we're talking about other teams, who really surprised you?
Maybe Carey Price being available, which, I mean, it looks like by all accounts, you know, Seattle has the go ahead to select him.
Yeah. You know what? I found out something tonight that I didn't even realize. Sorry, Russ, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, go ahead.
I want to say this before I forget it. I was actually told that Carey Price's wife is from Seattle. I did not know that. And what people forget is that he grew up in British Columbia. So that's really moving very close to home for him. So it doesn't surprise me that he waived his no move for this. It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me either. You're trying to help a team out in the franchise that you've been with your entire career. But if Seattle picked Carey Price, that would be such a mistake, I feel like. You're helping out Montreal so much. I mean, they have Jake Allen. Either way, it's a win-win for them. They keep Carey Price, and they're whatever. I mean, they still think they have that Stanley Cup window. I don't know if they're really a legit Stanley Cup contender going forward. They kind of I might piss off a bunch of Canadiens fans, but I feel like
yeah, feel like private,
I feel like it was more of a flash in the pan this season. But
you're on a roll this week, pal.
Yeah, you're just,
let's at least use a pun. Maybe lightning in a bottle. Hey-o!
Oh, wow.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just over the cap.
Yeah, just to go back. I mean, to Carey Price, I'm looking at his contract. He's got 5 years left at $10.5 million. He's 33 years old, and apparently he's got all these hip issues. Why Seattle? It's from a by all accounts, from what everyone's been saying, they're not really trying to contend in the first couple of years. They're trying to build a future team. So why would you even just help Montreal out and take on that deal? I think they're probably going to be leaning more toward, like, let's say, like a Jonathan Drouin. I've heard that they might try to sign Philippe Deneau, which would be a great signing for them. If they can sign Deneau for $5 million a year, that's a solid second-line center that they have going forward. But just taking on Carey Price, $10.5 million for your goaltender, it sounds like they're signing Chris Drieger they already signed him pretty much, it sounds like, to a $10 million contract. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'll tell you why. If it's not Carey Price, they're going to have to sign a couple of big-name players right off the hop. Because Vegas had the advantage of when they came into the league, they were the only game in town. The Raiders weren't there yet. There still is no NBA or NBL or MLB team, right? Seattle, the Kraken, have got the Mariners, and they've also got the Seahawks to compete with for the entertainment dollar out there. Mm-hmm. And that's no small competition, especially the Seahawks. I mean, they're beloved out there. Yeah, exactly, Manny. The Seattle Sounders, too. That's right. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at. So
what's soccer?
Oh, boy. Yep. So not only have we just made Canadians fans mad, we just made a lot of soccer fans mad. But that's okay. But what I'm saying,
look that up after we're done.
Yeah. Right. But what I'm saying is they're going to need to get a big name or two right off the hop, because they'll get that first year pass, right, where it's their inaugural season. Oh, yes, yeah, it's the Kraken. This is great. But if they're no good next year, they really do run the risk of fading into the background, and especially if the NBA gets their act together and comes back to the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the next NBA destination is probably going to be Vegas. But, yeah, I mean, you're totally right. They have to have some excitement to build. I mean, they're – all those Seattle Kraken fans are going to be looking at what Vegas did in the first year and just say,
yeah,
well, we're not probably going to do that, but we got to at least do something here. So yeah, they're going to take on some big names. I mean, Mark Giordano, as I know, is another name that's kind of floated out there as a possible player to get drafted. But they'll build a good team, and I don't think they're going to be as bad as some people think. I think they'll be not necessarily contending for a playoff spot, but I mean, they'll be competitive.
Yeah, I think they could certainly be competitive, especially with the Pacific Division looking the way it does. I mean, that's been said 1,000 times. So I'm not delivering any news that's, you know, nobody knows. But, you know, coming back to our LA Kings, let's wrap this up by bold predictions. Tomorrow night, who do the Seattle Kraken take from our LA Kings? Ryan, you go first.
I'm going to go Cale Clegg, as much as I don't want to. You know, if you hear a loud shrieking of excitement, it's because the Kraken took Austin Wagner.
So that's what that's going to be, huh? Okay, I thought there was a cat out front.
Just look Ryan towards the Chicago suburbs. Yeah,
it got caught in the jet stream. It's all good. How about you, Russ?
Oh yeah, I mean, all season I thought it'd probably be Cale Clegg, and just this last couple of weeks, I have a feeling they're going to take Blake Lizotte, and I feel like they're going to look back at his stats. Ryan's giving a good old fist pump, but I feel like they're going to look at his stats, and I've been a big Blake Lizotte fan all season. He's a really hard worker. He really competes. The coaching staff loves him. I mean, he doesn't really put up a lot of points, but he's just a good fourth line center. I mean, you're starting an NHL franchise. That's a really good fan favorite to start with. A player is going to go out there and work his heart out and just try to make an impact. And that's something Blake Lizotte can do.
Don't get me wrong. I love Blake Lizotte, like undrafted to making the roster, you know, out of the 2019-2020 season. I think he had, six goals that year, whatever it was. But, there's just not really a spot for him on the next year's roster the way it looks right now. So maybe he transitions someone into the Michael Amadio role if he's not taken tomorrow or what have you, and, you know, dealt for depth or something midseason. But it's just kind of a placeholder right now.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember that movie, Rudy?
Of course.
he is the LA Kings Rudy.
Blake, you guys remember that movie Aladdin?
Well, are you trying to represent he might disappear tomorrow? Is that what
it's a major movie you just referenced. Like, I have never heard of it.
Well, I'm just saying because, you know, you guys are so young. I just wanted to make sure you knew about it because it was, you know, early 90s, you know. So, but, you know, I got to tell you guys something. I don't share the Austin Wagner hate that most do. I kind of accept Austin Wagner for who he is, right? He's a guy who's going to give you a great forecheck. He's going to throw you a few hits a game. Just don't get your expectations up that he's going to score a lot of goals because it's not going to happen. Yeah. Do I hope that the Kraken take somebody else other than Cale Clegg? Yes. Do I think that they're going to take Cale Clegg? Yes. Because I really think that at the end of the day, he can make their third pairing. And why would you not want to have a young kid like that? That, hey, you know what? If it doesn't work out, you can trade him midway through the season or you can do whatever, but at least you give him a shot. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's at the end of the day, what's going to happen is Cale Clegg is going to be wearing a Seattle Kraken sweater. Unfortunately, my opinion, but anyways, enough expansion draft talk. Let's get to what you guys are really wanting to talk about here. And that would be the NHL entry draft. First round is going to be this Friday night. What's that start at 8 o'clock, right? Eight Eastern.
Eastern. Yeah. Eastern
time. Yeah. See, I get screwed up because if the listeners forget, we're like in three different time zones here. I'm in the East, Ryan's in the Central, and Russ is in the Pacific. So we got to be careful with our time zones, right? So
I'm on the best coast.
Weather-wise, that's for sure. Is that right?
Russ is in the Honda West time zone. So that's the last time I'll reference that.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. So anyways, first round only this Friday night on ESPN, right? Or ESPN2. It's ESPN2.
Two, I think. Nice of them to play in front
and center. Yeah. they have to show the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, both teams that aren't even above .500, but that's enough.
Well, that's okay. Sorry, Ron will be happy anyway. He's a Cubs fan. So,
but anyway, don't get me started. Let's continue.
Yeah, that notwithstanding. Anyways, the entry draft starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. And so obviously Buffalo's got the number one pick. Our LA Kings are picking number 8. And once again, there is a myriad of options. Now, keep in mind, this year has been like no other draft year because honestly, it's very hard to get a read on what's available. Thanks to last year being completely screwed up by COVID, as far as some leagues didn't even play, others played a shortened season, you know, so on and so forth. So coming to you, Russ, with that number 8 pick, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, yeah, they've had that report come out today that Bruce Garoch, the Senators writer, is he still report for the Senators? Is that where he's at? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He had that report out that the Rob Blake was taking calls on the number 8 selection. That's not really a surprise to me. That's something that I could definitely see happening. I mean, with the prospect, the amount of prospects that the Kings have already, I mean, and the somewhat uncertainty in this draft right now, I mean, that's something that could definitely be an option to bring in some quality talent, but we'd probably dive into that a little bit later. But if they did keep the selection, I'd be looking for a player. I'd be looking for Kent Johnson out of the University of Michigan. I mean, he played wing last year with Matty Beniers in the center position, who's projected to go top 3. Really skilled, entertaining player to watch. And when you look at the Kings prospect pool right now, there's really not that many players that show a lot of high-end skill. I mean, or excitement, I guess you could say. Quentin Byfield is a really talented, he's a franchise-building center, kind of like an Anže Kopitar. Alex Turcotte is kind of like the workhorse kind of center as well. You have Kupari Kaliev, who's got a wicked shot. But I mean, Ken Johnson is the guy out there doing toe drags and dangles all every shift he's on the ice. And he's gotten the comparisons to Trevor Zegras. And Kings fans see what Trevor Zegras was able to do in World Junior Championships this past season, and also just in the snippet he got with the Ducks. So when you compare a player like Kenton Johnson with Quentin Byfield or even Kopitar or Vilardi, I mean, that's a player that could bring a lot of entertainment and a lot of skill to a line, a center position, or to a left wing position possibly. So yeah, that'd be my pick.
Interesting. Very interesting. Is there any comparables to what the Kings have right now? I know you said that it's no way quite like, but I mean, if you're going to compare Kent Johnson to say a prospect of the Kings, is he more like a Tyler Madden? Is he kind of like a Kupari? Is that kind of the type of player we're looking at? Or
yeah, Tyler Madden's probably the closest type of player you're looking at. I mean, Tyler Madden's always is doing just as much as he can, is trying to dangle toe drag backhands through the legs and stuff like that. I mean, just as much as you see Ken Johnson doing in his game tape. So yeah, that'd be a good comparison.
But Johnson's a little bit bigger, correct?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ryan, what do you think?
If he's available and all the defensemen are off the board, the top tier defensemen, I got to take Dylan Gunther. I got to take him. Yeah. You know, 26 mm-hmm. goals last season, 33 assists. As you noted, Scott, leading this segment off, the WHL had an abbreviated season. He had 24 points in just 12 games. He wore a letter for Team Canada at the U18s in Frisco, Texas. Had 4 goals, 3 assists there in 7 games. Kind of a Nikita Kucherov comparable player that can just really score and produce a lot of points. That'd be so my guy.
How's his post-game interview?
Yeah, he's already a sponsor of Bud Light. No, I mean, if all the top-tier defensemen are gone, I think you got to take best player available. And if he's there, I'm going with Gunther. That's a very mm-hmm. easy decision for me. If they mm-hmm. still have the pick, obviously.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know what? He was one of my picks. I really like what the kid brings. But I also think that if he's available, I think the Kings should jump all over Jesper Wallstedt. I really Absolutely. Do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I see there's been some debate about that and out on Twitter that, you know, well, what do the Kings need him for? We got Cal Peterson. Well, let's just keep in mind, though, Wallstedt is not going to come over next year. He's not going to be ready next year. He's at least 3 years away, right? So
that's not give us more.
I mean, exactly. That's a minimum, bare minimum, right? So that gives us time to see what Cal can do. Give him those 3 years and let him run. And, you know, these things have a way of working themselves out anyway. If Cal is the real deal and he's that good of a goaltender going forward, then, hey, you know what? It gives Wallstedt more time to develop, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, yeah, but I mean,
it's a problem to have.
Exactly. I mean, if not him and or Gunther, I would love to see Luke Hughes be available. I don't think he's going to be. I don't see him getting past New Jersey, to be honest.
That's what I was thinking. He's gonna end up with his brother.
Yeah, that's gonna be way too irresistible for them. You know, way too irresistible.
I'm glad you brought up Wallstedt because that's another player that just makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've seen all the Kings' last couple of draft years where they've drafted centers. They have all the defensemen drafted in the second round with Brock Faber and Helge Grans last couple of years and then Bjornfoot in the later first round. But yeah, I mean, like I think about it this way. Like if I play a lot of fantasy football, so I don't know if you guys play fantasy football, but
yeah,
you're drafting your team. You draft a quarterback, you draft a running back, you got all these positions filled and you're just waiting for one position. And that's what the Kings are at. They have all these positions filled, but they just
go with the kicker.
Yeah, there you go. Kicker, first round. But they haven't filled that real elite level goaltender position. And yes, for Wallstedt, I mean, if he's there, that's another player that I wouldn't mind seeing picked by Los Angeles. That just fills all the holes. So when you're starting a franchise with Quentin Byfield, you have all the defensemen that the Kings have with Brock Faber, Helge Grans, list goes on. And then now all of a sudden you have Jesper Wallstedt in that. I mean, that's your future. That's your future right there.
I could see a lot of Kings fans being upset with the pick because, let's face it, it's not like your flashy offensive playmaker, but, you know, the game is kind of went won and lost in net, kind of build from the back, you know, out to the front. You know, in 5 years, it might be like, oh, okay, this was why we drafted this kid.
Mm-hmm. And for anybody who would question that, all they got to do is look no further than the Florida Panthers. Look what Spencer Knight did, leapfrogging Bobrovsky and Drager.
Look at all these goaltenders they're drafting in the first round: Vasilevskiy, Carey Price, Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, it works.
Yeah. Exactly. And you guys hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, it's not the flashy, sexy pick, but it's the most effective one. You know? So yeah. You guys had referenced an article about the Kings possibly be open for business for that eighth overall pick. Now, obviously, nobody's inside the room, so to speak. We don't know what's going to happen with it. But what do you guys think? Should the Kings either trade up, trade down, or just trade it away, period, if they do anything with it? That's a big if. I'll come to you first, Ross.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense too. We all know the amount of prospects that the Kings have, so they're at that point now where they're trying to be contenders and they're trying to vie for a playoff spot. And the Pacific Division isn't going to be that strong next year, so they should. I mean, if the Kings don't make the playoffs next year, that would probably be considered a disappointment in LA. So trading the pick. There's a lot of names that are out there. I mean, I threw out that Jack Eichel argument that got a lot of heat on Twitter. Some people were for it, some people were against it. I mean, so the Sabres seem to be wanting a top 10 pick in return and then with some prospects. So that could be a player. There's another player that's had his name float out there, and I think the Kings, I wouldn't mind trading the eighth overall pick for Pavel Buchnevich. I mean,
yeah.
That's a 6'2" left wing who scored. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the stats off front. I don't know if you can pull that up for me, Ryan. But he's a perennial goal scorer, and he's pretty young. So I would definitely trade the eighth overall pick, and maybe even a Rasmus Kupari or another high end.
20 goals, 28 assists last season.
Yeah, yeah. And how many year before that? Do you have that on hand?
Yeah, I do. 16 and 30.
Yeah, and how old is he? I don't know his age. Sorry.
Just turned 26.
Yeah.
Just turned 26. So, yeah, I mean, young forward, left wing, could definitely play on the first line. So you pair him with Kopitar, that's another solid first line. Then you have your second line with Gabe Vilardi, Iafallo, Elias Sanderson, Quentin Byfield rounding at the third line. That's a playoff team, and that's a playoff team that would be exciting to watch in L.A. next year.
So where's Brownie going to slot in?
In the first line. I don't want to break up Kopitar and Brownie. You got to keep that. you got to keep that chemistry there.
Yeah, because we got Victor Arvidsson, like you said, to fit in. I actually think Kaliev should be on the team this year too, but I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm sorry.
Right. I put Anderson over Arvidsson. Yeah, I forgot about Arvidsson. Yeah, put Arvidsson on the second line. I mean, that's two top six forwards that Rob Blake was looking for in the offseason.
And it's worth noting that Buchnevich is an RFA this offseason. So.
But he has arbitration rights as well.
Exactly.
So. Mm-hmm. Ryan, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Russ kind of touched on it. I don't want any more picks, you know, honestly. I don't really want them to trade down necessarily unless it's for like a Cole Sillinger or something like that. But, you know, I want proven commodities to come in, you know. And the two guys that you saw the report, and it's got to be taken with kind of air quotes, you know, that they're out on Jack Eichel, but, you know, Elliot Friedman, that was his report. He said that GMs tend to lie around this time of year, which makes sense. They don't want to show their hand. Mm-hmm. But
just like injury reports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The two guys that I could see that are maybe worth including the first round pick for, Sam Reinhart, which you already noted on, Connor Garland, the other one from Arizona. I'm not sure what the whole package looks like for those two guys, but I would definitely consider trading away the first round pick for either of those guys.
Well, that's very, very interesting. I'll tell you, I wouldn't mind moving the pick for the right situation. Now, yeah, I like Buchnevich too, Russ. I don't know if he's worth moving the first round pick for, to be perfectly honest with you.
And Connor Garland, honestly, might be a little. It's kind of a reach.
You know, yeah, I mean, there's two.
Sorry, yeah, sorry to cut you off, Scott. But yeah, I mean, this is like we mentioned. This is the year that the Kings could do it. I mean, if you're willing to overpay, Rob Blake's been really good in trades he's done, and I'll say that he really hasn't really overpaid for any player. I mean, we look at the Arvidsson deal. There was just a second and a third for a real proven goal scorer. So, I mean, if he did overpay for a player who's proven, I don't think Kings fans would be that upset with it. You unless you want to draft. If you're really stuck on drafting, let's say like a Luke Hughes falls to you or a really high-end defenseman or even, I mean, would I want Kent Johnson or maybe trade that pick for Connor Garland, Pavel Buchnevich? I'd rather trade the pick for Connor Garland, Pavel Buchnevich. So, I mean, this is the year that the Kings can make that deal.
And you know what the irony would be right there? Is that from what I read, now, of course, it's all rumors, right? So the Rangers are the number two team in on Jack Eichel, with Minnesota being the front runners. So the Rangers are looking to upgrade their first round pick to send to Buffalo, right? How ironic would that be if we went your route, traded our first round pick to the Rangers so that they could trade for Jack Eichel and we got Buchnevich out of it? Could you imagine that? The irony.
There you go. Now we're talking.
So here's what I think. There's two scenarios for me that would be acceptable to trade that first round pick. First of all, I told you guys I want them to get Jesper Wallstedt. Yeah, I want that. I don't think he gets past Detroit, to be honest with you. I think Steve Yzerman just takes him in a heartbeat. Okay. So we'd still need an elite goaltending prospect. So I would be okay with trading down a few picks, maybe five or six, and taking Sebastian Kausa. All right. Mm-hmm. In return, you know, I don't want any more picks this year, just like you guys. I would be content with them stockpiling picks for 2022, 2023, when guess what? They're supposed to be playoff contenders. And what do playoff contenders do at trade deadlines? They trade away picks. They trade away whatever they can to get that one piece that they think they need to move forward. So if they've got extra picks going into 22, 23, you know, so on and so forth, they can still trade away picks and not run the cupboard dry because they'll have their own picks available as well. So that's one scenario. The other scenario I see is if you can trade that first round pick to get that magical, mythical unicorn of a young, dynamic, left-hand defenseman. That's where I think the bread meets the butter right there. I mean, I would love to have Connor Garland on the team. That would be great. It would be. And you know what? Guys, I'm not opposed to having Pavel Buchnevich on at all.
No, absolutely. I agree. That would be a great pickup.
But here's the thing. You can address that top six need in an unrestricted free agency. Getting that young, dynamic left-hand defenseman, not so easy. They're going to have to trade for that. And to trade for that, you're going to need trade chips. And what better trade chips do you have other than your prospects, which I know we don't want to deal? Well, you got a first round pick available. Do it. Right. So, I mean, that's my take on it.
Would you trade the 8th overall pick for like a Zach Werenski?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Yeah. In a heartbeat. And it's going to take more than just the 8th overall pick. It's going to take a prospect or two. Or, absolutely, you make that.
No, it seems like Columbus wants a proven NHL player, you know, regardless whether it be Seth Jones or Zach Werenski. So,
which you can do too.
No, I agree. You know, like somebody like a Kempe or something like
that. Yeah, because guys, let's face it, the Kings have just got so many forwards coming through that you're eventually you're trying to put 5 liters of water into a 3 liter container, right? And eventually it's just going to overflow, and then you've lost it anyhow. So you got to make the best of what you got. I mean, you guys have got great ideas. And like I said, I would not be opposed to having either Garland or Brian Hart, of course, or Buchnevich. But I just think that the easiest way to address that left-hand D-deed is going to be by trading that pick if it becomes necessary.
Yeah. So, this draft, I think, is where we'll see that movement. And I don't see the Kings being big time contenders come free agency. I mean, unless they do want to throw some money at Landeskog. But like you mentioned, Scott, there's forwards coming. And if you sign another free agency, that's just another roadblock for those forwards to have to try to jump over to get to the NHL. So trading is where they're going to have to make some upgrades. And Rob Blake mentioned that during the virtual state of the franchise this past season. So they've already brought in Arvidsson. Why not use these prospects and this ammo, I guess you can say, to bring in that high-end scoring, or even that, like you mentioned, the left-handed defenseman?
Yeah. I mean, that's, like I said, I think that, and that's where, especially if they lose Clegg, that's going to really hurt. It's going to hurt a lot. And I think whether, you know, we want to accept it or not, if that should happen and they can't, obviously they won't be able to trade for that left-hand defenseman if they're not willing to put together, you know, a great package, you're either going to be stuck with McDermott and Mata again. Maybe Mulvary surprises, who knows, right? But otherwise, you know where I'm going with this. It's not going to be pretty on that third pair again. So it got so ugly that Russ disappeared.
He left on us.
I think he went to the bathroom, folks.
I mean, Mata's fine as a seventh defenseman, but yeah, they can't trot into the season like that again this year.
Yeah.
Not at all. No. Not at all. No. So what do you guys think? Are we going to see any huge surprises from anybody else Friday night?
I think so. This Saturday was a lot of fun. I think it kind of surprised a lot of people in terms of it almost turned into like a makeshift trade deadline with the roster freeze going into effect. So when those trades are coming in, like right at the last 5 minutes, I mean, like you saw, like people all of a sudden, it sounded like Vancouver was doing something. So everyone's like, oh, what's Vancouver doing? And then what's Dallas doing? And it was just like some Jason Dickinson trade for like a fourth round pick or whatever.
You know, some of those like, trickled in. Yeah, some of those trickled in after the
deadline. Yeah, and then all of a sudden the Ryan Ellis trade dropped in for Noel, and then Noel Patrick goes to Vegas and Cody Glasgow.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, now we're talking. And then Jared McCann got sent to Toronto, and now Toronto's exposing him. It's just, there's a lot of excitement, and it's really cool. I mean, this week in the NHL has been great for the NHL in its entirety. I mean, you had that excitement going on Saturday. Luke Prokop came out as gay online, which was really exciting. It was really cool to see the kind of like NHL community kind of support him. And that was a really good forward movement for the NHL. And now we have the new ESPN contract kicking in with a new franchise coming in. And this it's going to be fun because, I mean, we're talking about a really exciting like 7-day window the draft on Friday, and then we have free agency next Wednesday. So really exciting times for the NHL, and it's good. Hopefully it brings in some more fans, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and Russ, you kind of cut out there for a second, but I mean, I don't know if you mentioned it, but we also have the schedule coming out this Thursday, and we have the AHL schedule coming out this week too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from what I hear, I guess they did figure out a way to get the Olympics in on that schedule. So
and it sounds like they're going to keep some aspect of the baseball style schedule, you know, whether that be playing in the same state for back-to-back days or what have you, you know.
You know, I actually liked that last year. I liked that setup, having the two games in a row. And you know what? I bet you the teams liked it, too, because it really reduces travel.
Well, you even heard Anze Kopitar say, I think it was in his year-end review. I can't remember. He said, you know, he's going to bed at like 12:30 rather than like 3 a.m. when, you know, we have to fly somewhere and get settled and finally go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm just going to, you know, I got one final thought on Friday night, and this is just going to be a wild, crazy prediction. Okay. So we were talking about trading that first round pick. Well, if you see that first round pick packaged with a guy like, say, Sean Walker, you might just see the Kings going after Dougie Hamilton in free agency. Don't hold me to it. It's just a wild hunch. Imagine that.
Yeah, we'll see.
So
as long as they don't trade for Seth Jones. I'm not on the Seth Jones.
Yeah, right.
But Seth Jones.
Any final thoughts on what's coming up, guys?
No,
buckle your seatbelt. I don't think so. I'm just excited. Fans. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been so excited for this. I will say, I mean, my personal thoughts, if they don't trade the pick by Friday, I think they end up keeping it.
I don't know. I think that could go down to the wire. Yeah. Really?
You think so?
Just because of the way weird things are going, right? I mean, nobody knows who's going to go where other than the top three.
Yeah.
So maybe if they're waiting for Wallstedt and he's, you know, all of a sudden he's still hanging around. Okay, we're not going to trade this pick right away. But say Detroit grabs him at six and they had their heart set on Wallstedt. Okay, now we're in play, right?
Can you imagine, if that happens, like, you know, while the draft is happening, you know, the Kings have traded.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, I mean, like I said, this is great because absolutely anything can happen. It really can. And we just want everybody to know that tune in to HockeyRoyalty.com and all of our social media platforms, be it Facebook, Twitter, for our coverage as things go forward. Because, Ross, I think you hit the nail on the head. Buckle up. This is going to be a really, really fun ride. Mm-hmm. So get your drinks ready. And like I said, get ready. So, guys, this was fun. This was a lot of fun. I'm, like I said, looking very forward to covering everything with you guys. You know, the expansion draft's probably going to have happened by the time we come out, so we'll see how wrong or how right we were. Probably wrong, but oh well. And,
that happens, right?
That's right. That's right. And we're going to have, our entry draft predictions. We'll see if those come true as well. So we're going to be back with you next week. We're going to recap everything that we talked about, and we'll let you know who the guest is going to be and our upcoming in our coach meeting. That's right. Perhaps two. You never know. Double the trouble. So anyways, everybody, thanks for listening to us. We really appreciate it. So for Ryan Sykes, for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kinville. Go Kings, go.